today on the Clock Tips Podcast.
I wouldn't be able to recognize that I was late until the very last minute. I wasn't able to acknowledge how much time it took me to do things, so I would have a false perception of how long things would take.
Welcome to the Clock Tips Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Melissa Richardson. Thanks for joining us. So I don't know if you do this, but I write things down on paper so that I can remember to get them done. But when it comes time for me to actually do those things, it usually takes longer for me to complete those tasks. I recently learned about something called prospective memory. And what this is the way our brain helps us to understand what we need to do in the future, right now while we're busy, probably. And then when the future gets here, reminds us to do it. It's like planning ahead for the future. The problem is that sometimes we make too many plans for the future. And sometimes when the future gets here, we don't remember to do what we plan to do. Today, I'm here with Zara. She is a college student and she has been diagnosed with ADHD. And she's going to share her experience, what it's like going through college and life with this type of diagnosis. Welcome to the Clock Tips Podcast, Zara.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so you heard me talking about prospective memory and this kind of planning ahead for the future and remembering to do things. Like, what is that like for you?
Well, I would say planning ahead into the future and trying to organize things is often something that's very difficult for me. You know, I was just watching something about it recently. It was a professor, his name is Russell Barkley, and he specializes in like neuropsychology. And he was talking about how ADHD causes a sort of nearsightedness to the future because you can only see things that are immediately ahead of you. So I had a lot of difficulty planning things that were far into the future, which led me to struggle with procrastinating and remembering things. So because it also causes problems with your working memory. So trying to hold things in your head and then taking the necessary steps to do with that information, do what you need to do, is something that's difficult. It's like there is a disconnect between what you know you have to do and what you want to do and actually doing that thing. So managing that, I did have difficulty, you know, planning things in the future a lot of the time because I was completely drawn essentially by my nose to what was right in front of me. So something was going on, then I would get distracted by that, and then something else would happen, and then I would get distracted and go and do that thing, and at the end of the day, I have all these intentions to do things, but then didn't end up actually doing them.
Right. I have some variation of that. We all struggle with distractions in some ways, but I'm sure like people who are diagnosed with ADHD might have this more often or more severe, right? Would you say that? So how would you explain to someone, a lot of people might have heard this term before, ADHD, like how would you explain what ADHD is to someone who might not understand it?
That's a good one, because ADHD for me is a lot of things. It's kind of like, it's not something that you actively experience. It just shows up in your life everywhere around you. So I would call ADHD, it's more of a disconnect between your intentions and your actions. It's like, kind of like time blindness, because you don't like have a good internal clock that allows you to do things in an orderly or timely manner. It's more like being nearsighted to time. That's how I would describe it. And having trouble turning your intentions into actions. it's like those two things are separated. It feels like kind of like there's someone in the front seat of your car inside your brain, and you try to give them instructions on how to turn the wheel or what directions to go, but there's just a disconnect there. So you could want to do something really badly, but the action itself is where the problem lies.
I see. And you said two interesting or important things, I think. One is time blindness. I want you to talk a little bit more about that. And just like this idea of a clock and just, how that works. 'Cause, this podcast is all about time and understanding time and the perception of it internally and externally. So, what is
Yes.
time blindness? Could you tell me more about that?
Okay. I would say time blindness is more of an inability to perceive time or to acknowledge how long it takes to do things, how much time it takes to do things, and an inability to see far into the future. So it feels like your life is being led by a very short string attached to your brain. Often people who are neurotypical, they can plan things far ahead into the future and live their lives accordingly and not be pulled side to side by what's directly in front of them. So let me give an example. I would say because people with ADHD are often late to events, right? Because we struggle with tardiness, and that comes from an inability to perceive time correctly. I know when I struggled with being tardy a lot, it was because I wouldn't be able to recognize that I was late until the very last minute. I wasn't able to acknowledge how much time it took me to do things, so I would have a false perception of how long things would take, and I would do things as if they were urgent because that was essentially what I could see. I couldn't see far into the future enough to, organize my time in a good way. So that's how I would say time blindness more so just affects people more so with ADHD because that internal system is not regulated or is not there. It's lacking in some sort of way.
Okay, so I have a follow-up question on that specifically. So, time blindness, and just this sort of executive planning that comes with figuring out what to do in the future and then remembering when we get there. That has something to do with the memory. And there's a lot of different types of memory that the brain has. Familiar ones are short-term memory, long-term memory that people may know. When it comes to memory, and again, there are different types of memories that your brain can have. How do you feel like your past experiences, when it comes to times that you might have been late to something, or as you say, like rushing to complete something because it seems urgent to you, how might your past experiences inform your current actions or your future actions?
Well, that's another funny thing about it because a lot of times people with ADHD, their past actions don't provide information for their present actions. It's like it's almost as if you can acknowledge those things in the moment, but then you completely forget about it immediately and move on to the next thing. So learning from past experiences or learning from other people's experiences is not generally something that's easy to do when you have ADHD because it's difficult to look back into the past to inform your decisions about the present and the future. So things are just kind of scrambled all over the place because you're living in the now.
I see. When it comes to someone who may be undiagnosed, what would you say to someone to say maybe you should get checked out, or maybe there's like a variation in your behavior, when it comes to the types of things you might observe or experience as someone with ADHD? What might you say to someone that might not know?
If I see someone and I see them that they have a lot of traits of ADHD and I think that they might have ADHD, I will honestly just tell them. I will go up to them. Often it's easier for me to connect with other people with ADHD. I'm not exactly sure why that happens, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it can be small things like gestures, how fast they're talking or jumping from topic to topic. That's more of the hyperactive type of things. Or if we connect really deeply and closely within the first encounters, like because, well, people with ADHD tend to be impulsive and dive in, and we have a tendency to overshare too. So if I meet someone and we start talking about our life stories within like the first hour of knowing each other, then, well, I have a little ding that goes off in my head. Like I was talking to a friend one day and he was telling me how much he struggled with just doing stuff and how badly he wanted to do things, but he felt like immense shame and guilt over having the intention to do something and then not ending up doing it. And before he knows it, it's the next day. So when I see things like that, gestures, conversations, like if they tend to forget things or jump from topic to topic, especially while we're having conversations, then the bells will start to go off in my head and I'll think maybe this person has ADHD. You know, I am not a doctor or anything, so I cannot necessarily diagnose anyone. But if I notice the signs and I notice they're having trouble with certain tasks or they're frequently forgetting things, or if I'm talking about my experience and they're just like, oh my goodness, yes, I did this and this and this, and it's like this and this and this, and then, you know, we just go off on a whole rant, then I'll start to think, I think this person might also have ADHD.
It's very informative. I have another question for you. So ADHD is associated with sleep issues or issues falling asleep and getting enough rest. And this is, part of like what's considered a circadian disruption, so disruption to your body's biological clock system. Have you experienced any of these disruptions, or what are your takes on this?
I'd say absolutely. I still struggle with going to bed at a reasonable time. I have trouble describing why this happens or why necessarily it's difficult to go to bed on time or have a regular circadian rhythm. But I would say that sometimes it has to do with like a sleep revenge cycle where you didn't do everything you wanted to do in the day, so you want to do it in the evening. Or sometimes your system is just overactive and you're thinking about all these things, which can make it difficult to sleep. And also just, you know, not recognizing sometimes how late it is or how time passes during the day can make it difficult to go to sleep on time. But I would say one thing that has helped me with that is just waking up earlier in the day, because then I naturally get tired. I mean, it seems so simple, but really, just waking up early. Like during the summer, I had work, and I had work every day at around 9 a.m. So that led me to go to bed earlier, which is earlier for me is like 11 p.m. and 12 a.m.
So you would naturally want to go to sleep later and wake up later, is that what you're saying? But switching
Yes.
that and doing it earlier has helped you.
Yes, exactly. If I do not have external motivation to wake up early and go to bed early, then I will naturally start to go to bed later and later in the day and wake up later naturally.
I was reading up on this a little bit before our conversation, and there's a circadian disorder called delayed sleep phase syndrome. And it's something that really just means that compared to the average individual, the inclination or the body's urge to go to bed is naturally later than other people. And also the urge to wake up is later. And it's related to other clock-timed functions like melatonin release in the brain tends to be later. And this is something that scientists have found with people with ADHD. Now, what I know about this type of disorder is that unless people actually go to sleep later and wake up later, they won't feel like themselves. So, with you telling me that you naturally feel like you want to sleep later, that sounds similar. But you're telling me that when you switch and try to wake up earlier, you feel better, which is interesting.
Yes, it's definitely a challenge, but because I like to feel productive during the day, which is already difficult,
Yeah.
but it's more so, yes, I do tend to feel better if I'm not going to bed at times like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., or if I'm sleeping until really late in the day. Luckily, at school, I don't have the opportunity to sleep until the afternoon because I have those external motivators to keep
Right.
me waking up at a regular time.
Okay.
So I would say that that's something that helps. But yeah, I do feel better when I wake up earlier in the day. By earlier, I mean like 7, 8 in the morning. Yeah.
Okay. What are the things that you've tried or done? And I won't ask you about medication because that might be a personal question, but just as far as practices or habits that you might have developed, like you just told us about the sleeping at an earlier time, and waking up, around 7 or 8. Have you tried anything else to help with your ADHD, like to cope with it?
Yes, absolutely. I've been doing a lot of different things to help me work with my ADHD and learning online ways to cope with it. Because one of the things I learned, let me see, I know that I need external motivation to do things. So keeping things external apart from me, because if I keep them internally, then it's not going to regulate the stuff. It's going to get scrambled and mixed up. So I have to make time physical. So I have my phone on me at all times. I'm setting timers for pretty much everything. Like I can set timers to see how long it takes me to do a certain task, timers for showering, brushing my teeth, getting ready in the morning. And also when it comes to getting myself up or getting myself motivated to do things, I have to find something that will give me dopamine immediately. So one thing I do when I wake up in the mornings, I lay in bed for a little bit because I cannot just jump out of bed. I turn on my phone and I turn on some music like immediately. And listening to that music that makes me happy helps me get started on my day. Also, writing things down so that I don't have to keep it in my head all the time. Like I've been more so just I keep writing things down that I need to do, or I keep it in my notes app, like, remember this. Constant reminders is something that I need. And also pressure and consequences, like consequences and rewards. For me, consequences and rewards have to be immediate in order for them to be motivating. So if I'm doing work or something and I finish a task, then I'll maybe watch a short YouTube video or something like that, or take a small break or eat something small. The trick is to keep myself happy and keep myself energized. And energy is something that can be difficult for me to maintain. So if I need to take breaks, I take breaks. I take a 15-minute nap maybe during the day. I sit down and relax and try to keep myself grounded, maybe do what's good for my mental health, eat things that I like, and a big one also trying to take care of my health, getting exercise. I have to get exercise because I'm walking around campus every day, and just clocks everywhere. Not, well, not everywhere, but on my phone, I'm always checking my clock. And if I have a plan, then I try to implement some sort of pressure to keep me doing what I intend to do. Like instead of seeing something and it's like, oh, this is due like a week from now, I try to get it in my head like, no, this is due now. I have to do this now. So adding those kind of immediate consequences, splitting big tasks down into little tasks so that they seem less overwhelming. And if a task seems too overwhelming for me to start, I start with a smaller task. Like I build myself up. Sometimes I have to reset my body for like sensory reasons. So maybe if I'm wearing something, then I'll change my outfit and change my hair and wash my face so I can sort of reset. Drinking water, all of those things are things that I use to help me regulate my ADHD.
Nice. Wow. Those are a lot of great tips and advice for, I think, anyone with or without ADHD. So thanks for sharing that. I think I could talk to you forever, Zara. You have a lot of great information to share. But
Yes.
I think I'll wrap it up here and just say thanks for taking the time to come and, share your experience and what you've learned about ADHD and how to deal with it. So thanks again for your time, and we'll talk again in the future.
Okay, sounds wonderful. I've enjoyed being here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. Please visit our website at clocktips.com for more information about this podcast, how to join our ongoing research study, and more resources to help you improve your time, intuition, sleep, and productivity. If you found this information helpful or interesting, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with others and join the discussion on our social media platforms under the handle @myclocktips. Until next time, take care of yourself.
Thank you.